Welcome to the First Love Club. We're so glad you've joined us this week, and we hope that something we say in this show will encourage and inspire you. And we just want to start out the show by saying thank you so much to all of you who have left us kind comments and just given us feedback about last week's show, and it really resonated with a lot of you, and we are so thankful to hear what you have to say and that it blessed your heart. Right, Corey?
Absolutely. And it was very encouraging to read so many comments from so many lovely ladies that were touched by the message. I think that's part of why I love the idea of doing this podcast, is just when you're kind of on your own and thinking your God thoughts and having your God relationship, you know, it is just kind of you and him. Mm-hmm. Do other people feel this way? Have they experienced God the way I have? Being able to really connect and hear from other people, hear them, hear the emotion in their voice, be able to, you know, tell a story about what God has done for you. There's some magic in that. And it's not like when you sit in church and you hear someone up on, you know, a stage, hearing and having that more of that intimacy, you know, in your conversation, like with a girlfriend. That's really nice. And I've not had that very often in my life where I could feel like I was truly connected to someone that would not think, she's crazy.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to know they're not alone in what they're experiencing. And that last week's show really did make people feel that way. I think that, you know, they've been through things like this too, and they got through it, and here's hope, and, you know, God has a plan for me and that kind of thing. So we have just been so humbled and honored by all of your comments. Thank you so much.
Amen.
And it's a blessing. Keep them coming. We love to hear from you.
Yeah.
And we appreciate someone left us a nice review on iTunes. And we know that takes a little time, but we certainly appreciate it if you would want to go and give us a review there. That will help other people when they find our show to know what it's about and how it blessed you.
Amen. So we had talked about in the last episode mentioning how some of the scriptures that we use in the Faithful Life Challenge as part of my Facebook group, the Faithful Life Club, that I would be using them from time to time to talk about here in our club. But I don't want to be married to that idea. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to be free and flexible, especially because when I, you know, prep for this day, our recording day, you know, I'm really prayerful. I really, really want God to kind of direct this experience that we're doing, because that's the whole reason we're doing it, is, you know, that he's included in what we're doing. And so I kind of felt like I wanted to talk about something different today than just focusing on a scripture. And so I wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page, that from time to time that might happen.
Right.
So, I have been talking a lot about slow planning lately.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love it.
I know. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, that just sounds so delicious. So the whole concept of slow planning was really inspired by the slow movement, you know, as a whole that's going on in our culture. We have people who are embracing, you know, slow food, slow fashion, and slow living as, you know, as really kind of an overarching approach. Because for too long, our society has, in the words of some, been glorifying busy. Mm-hmm. I'm just too busy to do that. I'm so busy all the time. I'm just busy, busy, busy. And I really, it's kind of funny, like, people just say that without thinking that through. Is does that sound a little braggy? You know, do we take a little bit of pride in being busy? I'm too busy to do this and busy to do that. And sometimes we're busy because we keep saying yes to things when we should be saying no to things. And the more busy we are, the more excuses we have to not be doing the right things. And so this whole idea of slow planning really inspired me this year, because of course in December, January, you're beginning to see goals, set your goals. And I really wanted to have some time to sit with that this go around. You know, it's kind of funny, as more of a dedicated planner girl, you know, I love a good planner. And I love the idea of filling that planner out, listing my goals and all that good stuff. But this time I really wanted to sit with it, and I really wanted to kind of be more intentional and have more of a God presence in my goal planning. I really want to, you know, I can come up with ideas all day long for what I could work on this year, but I really want to be more intentional. I want my goals to have meaning and impact. So I kind of started this whole slow planning, and I'm going to take my time.
Can you explain the slow planning a little bit for somebody that may be listening that hasn't read anything else that you've said recently?
Sure. So slow planning is something that I introduced at the beginning of January, and just basically it's the concept of you don't have to have it all figured out in January.
January 1st.
Right. Right. There's no starter gun that goes off and that we all race towards.
I love that analogy. Go!
That you better have your whole act together and just charge ahead with your planner under your arm into the fray. I'm getting it achieved.
Exactly.
So this is a time, now think about it. It's really interesting because in December you are experiencing probably the busiest season of your life, you know, the season of holidays and all the commitments and things, obligations and things that we want to create memories for our families and memory keeping. And there's many different things that we get involved in December. This is not a great time to sit here and come up with what are my, you know, goals for
what you're going to accomplish the next year. In 2018. Yeah.
So there's like this kind of like rush to get that done before New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of set a different tone and message for my community and the women who allow me to kind of speak into their lives. And so, you know, I went in there and said, I am embracing slow planning. January is going to be a month of letting things simmer. You know, it's a month of, it's still winter. Everything's asleep. Look out your window. Some of us are looking out, you know, at snow out there. It's time for hibernation. Nature is taking this time to kind of like they're restoring from within. And this is a time for us to do the same thing. God gave us seasons for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. So in my time of kind of establishing my slow planning, I've been really breaking down some basics, you know, planning 101. And what it comes down to in the overarching approach for goals as a whole is goals come down to creating good habits. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us can be really honest with ourselves here and say, we are full of bad habits, full of them. So I really wanted to focus on, as one of my slow planning initiatives, is really focusing on establishing good habits. And to me, one of the most important habits that I want to just not just set and say, oh, hey, everybody, I did this, but it's something I'm going to live out the rest of this year and hopefully make it a lifelong habit, is that my day starts with the Lord. If nothing else I do, that He is incorporated into the beginning of my day. And so that kind of comes with establishing something of a routine, mm-hmm. right? So my God time is like an appointment that I show up for and I know He shows up for. And whether I am going to do some Bible reading, which I've been really good about doing ever since I adopted my, what is that?
Mornings with Jesus.
Mornings with Jesus Bible.
And so many people have bought that because you talked about it.
Indeed. And also in case, just to clarify, there's also the Everyday with Jesus Bible. So they are kind of like a little pair of twins. Hmm. And I think they're created by the same company as well. So you might see the mornings and the Everyday, and it's the same Bible.
Okay.
Because I noticed that when I opened on the inside flap, it actually said Everyday with Jesus.
Oh.
I'm loving this Bible. Oh, man. I've never been this dedicated to reading my Bible until I got this one.
Wonderful.
Because it's so easy to do. It's just, you know, the way that they've set up each daily reading, super simple. So in this time of just getting like that under my belt, I feel like, okay, I've got one habit has been mostly established. I've been doing it since November, and I'm not going to lie and say I've been doing it perfectly, because I haven't. Uh-huh. It's definitely been something that I don't let myself get more than 2 days behind. But you can easily catch up because the readings are not, you know, very robust. They're much smaller and easier to manage. So, but I do try to set a limit, and it's probably happened probably maybe 5 or 6 times where I've gotten behind. But it's something I look forward to more than I ever have before. And so I'm really embracing that feeling of like, I enjoy this. This is so nice. So what do you do to kind of make that so nice feeling continue?
Right.
You know, you might add coziness into the situation. So I used to sit at my little desk, you know, in the RV. And that is not nearly as cozy as putting a blanket around myself and being on like, for instance, I have like a day bed that we use as a sofa. So I curl up there. It's all cushy and cozy with pillows. And I have my little mug of tea. And now suddenly it's an experience as a whole that I'm looking forward to. You know what I'm saying? It's like you take one little thing that you've established and then you start kind of building around it to make the whole thing just feel even more special and yummy. It's like taking the time to do something for yourself. So now that my God time has kind of been in a flow, mm-hmm. if you will, and I've been really enjoying it very much, it's really began to make me feel like I need to start adding some extra steps to this process.
Okay, I can't wait to hear about this.
So one of the things, though, and the reason why I bring all of this up in the first place is if that has been a struggle for you, making God part of your morning, I hope that I might be saying something that sounds intriguing to you or simple to you. I definitely struggled with being a dedicated Bible reader, and I would guess that most of us do.
Right.
You should not be hanging your head in shame. You are in a giant club of people who struggle with that for whatever reason. So my approach was to find something that would work and something that was intriguing, something that would capture my attention. And so far, this method has been working. So I'm sticking with it. I'm enhancing it, making it more enjoyable. And it does. It makes my little soul feel nourished. A word I absolutely love.
I was getting ready to say, I love that word.
I am nourishing myself. And you know, it's not just that I've put a blanket around myself and I'm sipping tea. It is, I'm absorbing the word. I have my little markers with me. I'm highlighting things as the Holy Spirit is kind of, I always feel like the Holy Spirit's right there at my shoulder. Kind of like, look at that, look at that, look at that, as I'm reading. And I'm just highlighting stuff that just jumps out at me. And asking the question, why that? Why did God use that word? Why is that? You know, just those kind of little questions. Keeping myself engaged in it. Not letting myself zoom off into some thinking about something else. Or I have to do my tasks. Like, I want to be present. And I'm going to just savor this one habit and not sit there and focus too much on like, okay, well, what's the next thing? Adding exercise, adding this, adding that. I want to focus on the most important thing, which is the Lord. So I want you to consider that if that has been a struggle for you, and some of you are just so good at it. You're just veterans of the, you have, what do they call that? Your little Bible basket or your morning basket. I've heard it called cute little things like that. There are some of you that you look forward to this. It's like it sets the tone for your entire day. One of the things I love about the Bible is when you read stories about things God said to people and did for people, that's the same God that you talk to every morning.
Amen.
Doesn't that just blow your mind that you're reading a story Yes. so long ago? And yet we can identify so much with some of the character and some of the things that people do in the Bible. We're so human. We've not changed so much that we don't do the same things. And there's people in the Bible I've read and just question, like, what the heck were you thinking? Until the day I realized I'm doing that very same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that same way. You know, I'm always amazed how many people can watch God do miracles and talk to them and do amazing things and then doubt God or think, right. You know, maybe you won't show up. And so to me, the Bible, reading the Bible is about trying to learn more about the God who loves me so much.
You know, nourishment is really a great word for you to use in relation to reading the Bible, because I think sometimes we get caught up on what we need to do for our health, what we need to do for our mind and our stress level, and all the things we need to do in our house, and we're trying to take care of everything and take care of ourselves in every avenue of life, but we forget about our soul. And the Bible is food for our soul. So I love you using the word nourishment, because it really does feed our soul, doesn't it?
It does.
We're empty without the Word of God. We're so in need of direction from an almighty God. And like you said, He's the God that cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's the best thing about God. He's faithful. He's unfailing. He's true to His word. If He said it, He'll do it.
It's awesome. So true. the same, these stories like Jeremiah and Isaiah, all these things God spoke to them and said, I'll do for you.
Right.
That's the same God that right. talks to me. Like, he loves me as much as he loved Jeremiah. He loved right. me as much as he loved Isaiah. He loves me as much as he loved David.
And he's as merciful toward us as he was somebody like David. You know, the Bible says yes. David was a man after God's own heart. So when I get hard on myself and I think, how could God ever love me as often as I failed him, which I do think sometimes, I remember that David had someone's husband killed. And then he went after her and had an affair, and he did horrible things. But the reason God loved him so was he saw his heart and how much David loved God. There's and that connection.
Absolutely. And I think anyone who's spent any time in the Psalms,
yeah,
anytime you spend time in the Psalms, and actually I wrote down a line from one of the Psalms the other day, and I feel like some of us who have truly been in such a dark place or a sad place or just so desperate for God can appreciate, you know, David is sitting hiding in a cave alone, desperate, where he literally has a bounty on his head to be murdered, and he knows he's done nothing wrong. This is God's chosen. This is the guy who's going to be the king, and yet here he is. And one of the lines from the psalm, it's Psalm 69:3, I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. I mean, you can't be in a more desperate situation, but I think some of us can absolutely identify with how frail we are as people, and how that really can be your only escape, the only answer, the only thing that can save you is God rescuing you. My throat is dry. I mean, that's a level of desperation. I don't know, you know, I'm a crier, but mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever cried that hard that my throat right. was dry. But I think that that's one of the things that I appreciate so much, that God allows David's frailty to be shown in the Bible. Right. That as much as David clearly loved God, and he's such a good, he's so inspiring to us in that way. He always has been for me. Mm-hmm. The man was flawed.
Right.
And we can all agree on that. He made right. some really poor decisions, and he paid for his poor decisions.
Yeah.
He really did. He paid yeah. consequences that most of us would never want to pay.
Yeah.
We would, God, wait, I'm the chosen. Can't we just get a pass on this? And God didn't give him a pass. So it's, I feel like David's one of those wonderful examples in the Bible for us.
The Bible doesn't show us the Instagram version of David's
no,
life, does it?
No, it does not.
Yeah, I love what you just said, his frailty. God did allow us to see his vulnerability and transparency, because he chose to have those words that you just read in the Word of God so we could read that and identify.
And God often comes to our rescue. Here's the thing, though, about the coming to the rescue. He doesn't always show up the way we expect him to, the way we prayed for him to.
Right.
He doesn't always answer us the way we wanted. Sometimes our own little needs and wants, God goes, they're nice to have needs and wants, but I come to you in the way that I do, because I'm God. I have a great segue here now.
Okay.
just today when I showed up here, you had gifted me this book from my favorite author and speaker, teacher, Priscilla Shire. And I feel like it's just wonderful timing that you handed this to me. And the book's title is called God is Able. And I just flipped the cover and was kind of reading through it. I've read probably all of her books. This is one that I actually haven't read, so that's amazing, because I own almost everything she's written. And I happened to have my highlighter with me, and I highlighted some things that I think back up what we were just talking about. So thank you, Lord. So this is some of the book, and this is just from the first chapter or introduction. The very first chapter. So I'm just going to share with you some things I highlighted here. Just because God can doesn't mean he will. But just because he hasn't doesn't mean he won't. The bottom line is that he is able. And because he is able, and because he is love, our hearts are completely secure in every situation, no matter how desperate or chronic or time sensitive. Sometimes his best work is not what he does for us, but what he does inside us. And believe me, that is no consolation prize. Like when he changes a perspective, or refuels a lost passion, or refocuses an ignored, misplaced priority, or refreshes a spirit darkened by depression, or softens a heart grown cold and unforgiving, or exposes and transforms an impure, impertinent line of thinking. When God surprises you by changing your husband's mind, reorienting your child's direction, softening your boss's heart, or just brightening that no-hope look in your eyes, you can be sure he's been up to something incredible, inconceivable, borderline impossible. That's because God is able. In fact, I'm more and more convinced that when he chooses to perform physical miracles in our lives, when he does what we consider supernatural and extraordinary, his chief intention, even then, is not to blow our minds, but to cause our hearts to become more inclined toward him and aligned with his. He wants us to trust him, believe him, and expect him until our primary goal is not that he answer our prayer exactly the way we've been praying it, but that we know him more fully and intimately. Isn't that beautiful?
I'm sobbing.
I know, there are just no words.
I'm just like, I'm trying not to sniff through the whole show, but that's God inspired, first of all.
Indeed.
Oh my goodness. Boy, I'm going to read that when you're done with it, first of all.
And Priscilla will be the first to admit, you know, how flawed she is. And that is the incredible thing, is how God uses the Holy Spirit to, you know, to fill us with that kind of, I mean, to be inspired to write that, you know? And it's her obedience to share that with us is to remind us that all of these things, God is not a magician. He's not up there performing little hat tricks for us. He does these things. He blows our minds. He does these incredible things for us so that we realize how much he loves us.
I was looking at one of my favorite pastor's Instagram feeds last night, John Bevere, and just looking at some of the little memes he had, and I wanted to share one. And one of my favorite ones, this goes perfectly with it. It said, God is much more interested in your transformation than your blessing. And while you're reading that, I was thinking, oh my goodness, so many people are thinking, they're praying for this specifically, but while they're waiting, while they're praying, while they're hoping, trusting, believing, God is trying to do a work in them. He's trying to do a work in us. Let me include myself in that. Everything that happens with us and God is about him transforming us. We're the clay and he's the potter, right?
Yep. And that transformation, you know, in the big scheme of things is supposed to fill us so big we can't contain it. We can't hold it in. We can't stop talking about God. We can't not share God. We can't not tell our sister, you know, God is able. God can do that.
Right.
It may not look the way you thought it would, and it may not be the way it may not show up in the package that you thought. You know, we talked about this in the last episode. You know, 20 years of being single and seeing how happy the world is being married. You feel like you're the last single lady ever, you know, as an example. I did not know what that package would look like. You know, for all I knew, God was going to allow me to be single the rest of my life. And you have to make peace with that. But here's the wonderful thing. You don't make peace on your own. God comes and he transforms your heart. He helps you to want that thing, desire what he has. You know, there are some women who are, instead of marriage, they're chosen for ministry.
Right.
And some of them might tell you, you know, I always thought I'd be married with kids, and here I am running an orphanage in Africa. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the way we thought we were just going to be walking down our road, God has something else for us. But the part that makes him so wonderful is it's not a prison sentence. It's not something that's a punishment. He helps your heart to become weaved with the desire for that thing so that you forgot what it is that you used to want. And coupled with that is that your response to the way that God steps in, and clearly he steps in and does something, your love can just grow to this indescribable level for him, because it's something you just can't get, you can't put into words, you know. And there's people who try. There's people who know that they were at death's door and God has literally saved them from death.
That would be me.
And they're the ones that can't shut up about God, right? Yeah. I remember as a young person being so annoyed with people in my family that became born again. And they just, like, that's all they wanted to talk about at family gatherings. And they'd corner me, try and talk to me about God. And it was annoying. But now I understand it. I understand when God saves you from your own stupid self.
Yeah.
You know? And he gives you a new life. And it can feel like you can't stop talking about him.
He wipes the slate clean.
He does. And gives you something so profound, so not you, that you know it's him. And that love for him is what can change your heart into, Lord, I will go where you send me and do what you ask me to do. That's what happened to me. As an introvert, I would never, you know, willingly give up, you know, the safety of my little home, the sanctity of being in my little cozy space. But I know that there's a calling on me that I can't ignore. Right. I know it's there. And he was not joking around, giving me the literal name Corey Speaker. The little girl who was terrified of getting up in front of people. God saw me every moment in my life, how terrified I was to stand up in front of others to speak, that I would rather take an F as a grade than have to get up and read a speech in front of my class. He saw all those moments, and he's asking me to do something so terrifying to me. But he comes alongside me and gives me the words to speak and the bravery in my heart and the conviction in my heart of how deeply loved I am. That I know that I know that. That's what gives me the courage to speak.
Right.
The fact that I'm going around saying, I'm going to be a speaker this year. I'm choosing bold as my word. I mean, this blows my mind. This is not the Corey that I know of myself.
Right.
But that's transformation. That's what it looks like. You know, I'm just an average woman. There's so many, like, you know, there's so many people out there that do these amazing things for God. They have incredible ministries they've started. Even, like, young people still in high school have created amazing things. So it's very humbling. I know there's nothing amazing about me. It is simply my obedience because of how much I love God, and that every day I get to walk around in a life that he designed for me. Designed using my gifts, using who I am. It's not, you know, giving you a personality change.
Right.
He uses you right where you are, but it's our partnership with him. It's choosing to, I choose this. I love you so much, Lord. I want to make you proud of me.
Right. I know.
Isn't that, Corey, how most of us Christians feel when we love God that much? I want to make you proud, Dad.
I want to be a God pleaser. A God pleaser. The pastor I worked for 7 years is friends with an author and minister, and he wrote a book called God Pleaser. And I've thought that defines me. It's how I want to live. And now I can't say that I accomplish that every day, but I say that to God all the time. I just want to be a God pleaser and make you happy. And my heart goes out to people who have never experienced the level of joy and happiness and peace that you can find in Jesus. And that's one reason I want to talk about him. I want to do this podcast. It's not always easy to tell someone about Jesus, but when we realize that they could have so much more in their life if they would open up their heart and their will to what God has for them, that's just so important right now. We're living in a world where people are desperate for something more than they can find on their own.
But we're so scared to open our mouth.
I know.
We're scared to offend.
Right.
We're scared to look crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We're scared. We are more concerned about being a people pleaser
mm-hmm.
than a God pleaser.
I'll be honest, when I was talking about going through that Instagram feed and I was looking at those memes, every one of them I thought, no, that's too preachy. No, that's too spiritual. Now, you know, so it's hard even for me, and I'm a very outspoken Christian. But we really have to get past that if we want people to know the love of God.
Indeed.
And have the relationship with Him that He's calling us to, because we are facing tough times these days, and we need the peace and joy of Jesus in our heart.
Amen. So here is a challenge for all of us this week, is that we look for the opportunity to be a God pleaser this week. Even if it's outside your comfort zone, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, sometimes God will give you that nudge to go speak to a coworker, and it can be terrifying. But pray for God to give you that boldness, that bravery to speak the conviction of your heart, if only to simply share how much God loves you.
That's awesome.
So let's all do that this week. I'm putting myself at the challenge too, because I'm sitting here in front of a microphone doesn't make me brave, okay? I don't consider this a brave act. I consider this an obedient act,
right?
You know, but it's very different to sit here in the comfort of your home and post things on Instagram, or, you know, flip a camera and talk to a, you know, camera. It's another thing to approach someone, to see someone. And I feel like there's been times where I've seen people who just look like they need a hug.
I know.
You know, if you see someone in the grocery checkout, especially, I'm really sensitive to the women who look like they're a single mom, that just look like they are going
beaten
through
down.
It.
Yep. Yep.
Look for those, ask God to show you who you need to speak to. I challenge, let's all be brave this week. Let's all try. Let's be God pleasers this week. Maybe it's not speaking to someone. Maybe it's something else. Ask God to show you. Shine that light, Lord, on that thing that you want me to do that would please you.
I love that.
It could be restoration in a relationship, a friend you should call that maybe you had harsh words between you. Maybe it's your kid you haven't been super sweet to lately. You know, it could be your husband. But I think this is an opportunity for us, you know, to use this as a way to challenge ourselves, you know. Me too. You too, Tracy.
Yes,
are you
I
in?
Accept the challenge. That's
are we
wonderful.
All in?
Yes, I'm all in. Thank you.
Okay, so we're all in. We're all going to ask God to show you what you need to do this week to be a God pleaser. And be brave, be encouraged, be of good cheer, because if He calls you to it, He's going to help you through it.
He'll equip you.
Indeed, even if it's scary, girls. So you just know He will not leave you or forsake you if He asks you to do something scary.
Amen. That reminds me of one time I went to a scrapbook event, and I prayed and prayed. I was really in a spiritual place that year. I was growing in my faith, and I prayed that God would use me, and He did, and it blew my mind, because it turns out that almost everyone I met had a need. And they began to tell me about something they were going through, and I said, can we pray about it? And so I ended up praying with like 8 people that weekend. It was so crazy, because, I mean, I don't just go around praying for people normally. I will if someone asks me to. And these were strangers. And I just said, you know, let's just pray now, because I thought I might forget later. And then I had those people come and say, that was exactly what I needed, was someone just to listen and pray with me. So I really try to live in that space where if somebody tells me something, I say, let's just pray about it now. Sometimes I forget to do that on the spot, but it means so much to people when you say that. So just be willing to say that.
Indeed. Be willing to say the words, because you know what? There's been times I have prayed for a stranger that I felt like words coming out of my mouth.
Right.
How could I possibly know the person's need? I don't even
right.
know this person.
Right.
And you know, if you've ever gone up and been asked for prayer, and someone prayed over you in a way that you know the Holy Spirit is giving them the words,
right.
That is a gift.
Yes.
You have that within you. God does not withhold any good thing from us, especially something that's going to encourage our brethren. And, you know, just because it's someone you don't know, it does not mean that God can't use you to literally transform that person's life in that moment.
Right.
It could be a breakthrough that they needed to hear. We all have that ability, because all we're doing is we're just loving on somebody.
Yep.
And don't be afraid. I'm gonna look for this opportunity myself, because I know what a little chicken I can be, because I just don't like approaching people.
Yeah.
So, but whatever it is, maybe it's not approaching someone. Maybe God will show me a different situation that I can please him in. So that's what we're going to be focused on this week. If you would like to join us as being a God pleaser and looking for that way that you can bless someone else, be used in a situation, just be open to God, you know, using you as an instrument. And I'm telling you that once you feel that and see how God blesses you more than the person that got blessed, right, because he picked you.
Right.
It is an incredible, incredible feeling. So let's baby step our way. If you've never felt that, I really want that for you.
Me too.
Because that begins to really change the dynamic of your relationship with God. It is not a one-sided thing.
Right.
That God will. You step up, girl, and you ask for God to use you, he will. So that's our challenge this week. And again, I just want to echo what Tracy said at the opening, is that we just so appreciated all that feedback that we got and how this is means something to you. And, you know, we're just one of many, many voices out there that share encouragement and love. And we don't always know what our agenda is going to be each episode, but we just appreciate you. And we know that someone out there needed to hear this message today, and we're going to be praying for you.
Yes.
So be a God pleaser this week. And thank you so much for joining us.